Who are you?
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zata Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Don't sweat the technique.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Got a little Chandler clarity. Chandler Rome, beat writer for the Astros for The Athletic. Jose Urquidy said his UCL is fine. There's no damage there. There's inflammation in his forearm muscle, and he will not throw for 10 to 15 days.
That's what Lance McCullers said.
I mean, it's better than a torn UCL.
No, it's, you know, look, if you feel a lot better hoping that that's the case, then what could have been the alternative?
How does one inflame a forearm?
Excessive use?
A lot of pitches.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN.
See what you did there.
What is the Daniel, the net, we
it's
all
quantity,
like the Daniil
Jeremy,
Hunter.
Over quality.
We all like the Daniil Hunter signing for the Houston Tech. Big price, but only 2 years. He gets to the quarterback. Who was our guy who called yesterday? Was it Mark?
I believe so.
He doesn't like the Daniil Hunter.
No,
he thinks
no
he's
big
just
name,
a guy.
Big name
what was his
in.
Argument against it?
He said he was just a guy.
And Texans can't get big name free agents to come.
I think Austin was supposed to trim
just
it up.
Just a guy.
He might. I don't know. Did he tell you that he was going to trim
he
it up so
he
put on Bad Take
me.
Boulevard? Yeah, he said that he was
if
just a guy.
If you remember roughly what time, I can go get it.
I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
I'll
yeah.
text him.
Yeah, so anyways, he said he was just a guy. Signing Daniil Hunter is your favorite Texans free agent move since blank. 713-780-ESPN. Signing Daniil Hunter is your favorite Texans free agent move since Joel Blank.
Yeah, I didn't sign right away, but I thought that people were excited.
What is your what is your favorite free agent signing since whatever? I was going to say Tank Dell, but it's not a free agent
right.
signing.
Yeah. I mean, I think the first thing that pops to my mind, I think Daniil Hunter would be. Go ahead and take it, Joel. If you think I'm going to take the obvious, you go ahead and take it.
Jonathan Joseph.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the best free agent they've had.
Jonathan Joseph at the time was a stud corner for the Bengals, and when he came here, it was like, whoa, okay. Yeah,
thanks for the history lesson, Dad. I know that Jonathan Joseph...
I'm not telling it to you. I'm telling it to the listeners.
I mean, obviously Jonathan Joseph was very good, but if your best free agent signing in two decades is Jonathan Joseph, I don't think that's a great...
Well, it's not.
...free agent. Now, there's not always great free agents.
I mean, what's the other choice, though?
I think it's it.
I know. I mean, maybe you could say Danielle Manning.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that.
No.
I wouldn't say that.
I know. I'm not saying he's number one, but if you're like the
Jamie
others
Sharper?
In conversation.
That's mid.
Yeah, but he was a big splash at the time.
Let's just go move. Let's go best move. Because this guy, some of the texts are just reacting with best move instead of best free agent signing. 3426, best move since trading the sexual assault demon. Of course, that's Deshaun Watson. 2 year anniversary of Deshaun Watson, I think, was either today or yesterday.
No one celebrated.
We should be, though. That should be.
Getting rid of him was big. Yes.
That should be an anniversary that we do celebrate. 6091, the Honey Badger move. That was a free agent signing.
That was.
Yeah, I mean,
I wouldn't put it ahead of Joseph.
It didn't really result.
He played well for a
much.
Year and then seemed like he didn't like it here at all and got out quick.
This guy's his favorite mood since trading D Hop. What?
That's just
you're trolling.
He's trolling. He's
you're trolling 6087.
I mean, if we're going to just say favorite move, I think I would have to say since the drafting of J.J. Watt. I mean, that was not a – obviously fans booed him at the team draft party. So, I mean, that was not a move everyone was on board with. And
someone on the highway to hell actually thought it was a horrible move at the time.
Ooh.
And I corrected him. And then I was told I was crazy. And then didn't remember saying it when he turned out to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Interesting.
This guy said Ed Reed. This guy said Ed Reed until he played. Vince Wilfork.
That's
fun. A good one.
He was solid.
It was
big name. J. Joe.
Big name, though, coming
big
from the
guy.
Patriots. Big guy.
He was
loved
fun,
his,
too.
Loved his coveralls.
And
yeah,
he was
gave
a,
us that moment on Hard Knocks, yeah.
And he was a veteran that actually worked. Like, he was good while
he fine.
Played.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was good while he played. Tommy Townsend, Pro Bowler.
The punter?
I do like Tommy Townsend. There's two things that I like about Tommy Townsend. First off is his hair. And I love the relationship, the friendly relationship, the platonic
with your girl
relationship that he has with Taylor Swift. Did you see him celebrating after the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
It's like they were BFFs for the last 20 years. That guy's lovable. I think he's going to fit right into that special teams unit. And you know I'm huge on the Houston Texans special team unit. I like Kyahmi Fairbairn. I like what I've seen from Tommy Townsend. The hair flows beautifully. And then he's BFFs with Taylor Swift. And then you're putting those two guys in the same room with the legend John Weeks? How do you not like that specialist?
I can't believe
room?
We went this long in the segment without you saying your favorite move is the signing of John Weeks.
It's a good call.
Was he not drafted? How did he not draft that guy?
I don't think he was.
I'm assuming he wasn't drafted.
No, I think I've actually looked this up before. I think he was bouncing around at like practice squads, and they picked him up off a practice squad. AJ Bouye?
He was a good player. He was a good player. I don't think he would crack a top five as far as favorite moves.
I think he was a massive
moves,
disappointment once he started playing.
He was all right. He was all right for a few years.
Eric, Ed Reed brought excitement. Don't take what happened, but people were into it. And they definitely were into it. He was going to be the guy who got the Texans over
the
hump.
And then he turned out to be the absolute opposite of what you were expecting.
Championship pedigree. He was going to, like, Texans are trying to get to that level. He's going to be the guy who, like indoctrinates you into, like, championship culture.
Yep.
And then he was the exact opposite. Not that he was, like, a terrible person. Or a terrible leader or anything.
And then he didn't like it when people got on him for nothing.
Yeah, he didn't like that. 6927, how are we not mentioning John Weeks? A little late, but I got there. Since signing QB1 Carr, drafted him.
I mean,
someone said Mark's take was during this time yesterday they were driving home, which they do every day at this time.
He's at 357, right?
Okay, I'll find it.
He's at 354.
That's fine. I'll find it. I'll find it during the commercial break.
Segment.
I'll find it during the commercial.
Well, you don't need it until Thursday.
Oh, okay.
Because we're going to put it on Bad Take Boulevard. So there's no rush on that. Yeah. We don't need to turn it around for that. Matt Schaub, that was a trade.
Right.
But if we're just going acquisitions, like you can throw Schaub in there. I mean, if you're going just acquisitions, though, it'd probably be the draft pick of J.J. Watt.
Yeah, it'd have to be that or Andre, right?
But yeah.
Or, I mean we had this debate when this came up with, like, the best free agent moves they've ever made about whether Arian Foster was a true free agent move. We have to mention Arian Foster among this.
Let's remember the phrasing here is your favorite move.
Yeah.
So, like, favorite move is different than best.
Yeah, Arian's in the conversation then because people loved what he did, and he was a free agent because he was a street free agent.
But I think favorite, it's kind of like your excitement in the moment. So, like, J.J. Watt, I think you would cross off because people weren't.
Yeah, that was like the Robert Arian Horry
Foster,
reaction.
Yeah, Arian Foster's undrafted free agent. You don't even bat an eye.
No one was excited about it when it happened, right?
I mean, no one bats an eye at an undrafted free agent.
Was Andre questioned at the time there were other guys you could have taken, or was he the unequivocal guy to take there?
No.
He was the number three pick in the draft. The only receiver that went above him was the guy that went to Detroit. Now I'm blanking on
Kyle Johnson.
No, it was a bust. He was a bust.
Oh, then it was Rodgers from Michigan State.
I think it was Carlos Rodgers.
No, Charles Rodgers.
Charles Rodgers.
Yeah.
Carlos Rodgers was his nickname when he went below the border. My favorite. You laughed. My favorite was Tank Dell. My favorite was if we're going straight Texans move. We're talking about the excitement of an individual person.
I can't nitpick it because it's an individual. Yeah.
Like I loved when Case Keenum signed too. Like this past time, but Case Keenum, you knew he was going to be a backup. The moment that they draft, you know, I was standing on the table for Tank Dell. Like, I was banging the drum. I want Tank Dell in Houston. So the moment, and I was doing a baseball game at the time, and I was following the draft just through the draft tracker, like through the ticker.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even watching. I was watching through the draft tracker on ESPN.com. And whenever I saw Tank Dell flash with the Houston Texans, like, there was not a moment that I cheered more for a player acquisition than that moment.
Well, I was pleased when they got Ron Dane.
He had the one moment in the game against the Colts, and
Mine's
the first
tank.
Ever win against the Colts.
He had a couple of glimpses.
He had a couple moments. Yeah. He had a couple moments.
Now, I think that, like, favored can get lost if they don't play well. Like, Dane was your favorite in the moment, didn't play well, so it loses its luster. Like, it's hard for me to beat Tank because he didn't lose any luster.
In fact,
he played above his expectation. Quite a bit above his expectations.
I think along those lines, then I think I have to go with the drafting of C.J. Stroud because not only was I excited about it, that was the quarterback I wanted, but then everything after that lived up to the excitement that I had in the moment.
Yeah,
I think that's got to be my pick now.
I think that a lot of people would say
actual excitement in the moment.
On the flip side of that, I think a lot of people, because of how disgruntled they were with Brock Osweiler, were completely stoked when they got Deshaun Watson and they made the move to go get him. And then, obviously, it didn't turn out so well.
Yeah, that's one that I think you could be up there. Yes, 2568, I'm a big fan of Tommy Townsend. 5882, I was hyped for Brock Osweiler and Lamar Miller, same offseason. One of them turned out to be all right.
Yeah, Lamar Miller is pretty good. Lamar was fine.
9666, Brian Cushing. Love that psychopath. Brian Cushing is a psychopath.
Yeah.
He's a psychopath.
Yeah. He was. Okay, wait, now, hold on. Can we include coaching moves in this?
See, that's a good question. Because
D'Amico's got to figure in if we do.
9913 said D'Amico.
D'Amico might be the man that saved the franchise.
I think it would have to be as a coach, too. Because even when he was a draft pick, he was a second rounder.
Second round pick. But he was good. He was solid.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be as stoked about a second-round linebacker as opposed to a hometown hero coming back to be your head coach. It would be more as his head coach. That's a good call.
That might be the answer.
You know what might be a good answer? The day that Jack Easterby was fired.
Ooh. Yep. Yeah. That's a good call. Day Bill O'Brien was fired.
I was going to say the day Bill O'Brien was fired would be right behind it.
See, I didn't...
Oh, people want him to go.
Come on, him as a GM.
But we're talking about our favorite. As a GM, he was awful. Yeah. What I didn't like about it, though, is that it was in week four coming off a playoff, and it showed that your organization was in dysfunction. So I didn't like the symbolism of it. I was totally fine with Teapot Bill being fired. But the moment that you did it, season's over, and I didn't like the symbolism of it either.
I get that, but remember now, that's when it was the business side versus the football side. Everybody celebrated in the building. They opened the roof because it was the one thing he was adamant they never do. And JJ and everybody took pictures of it to put on social media to show how exuberant everyone in the building was because they were so ecstatic. Ding dong, Bill's gone.
I mean, I missed that part of the story. I didn't know they opened the roof.
Oh, yeah, that was a big, big deal. JJ had like a Twitter post with him with the roof open, looking up and smiling.
Wow.
Listen to this wet blanket. 1-2-4-4, Tank Dell ain't ever playing a full healthy season in the NFL.
Well, that's nice.
You might be right, but why throw the wet blanket on my favorite moment, 1-2-4-4? That's a cool thing to do.
As long as they don't ask
him to
block inside again.
Yeah, who peed in your Cheerios? What brought that on?
That's my least favorite thing about Bobby Slowick.
With the fact that he put Tank in that position.
160-pound wide receiver blocking inside.
We were both completely up in arms over that.
No one mentioned Will Anderson?
I mean,
trade
up
for Will Anderson?
It was divided.
I was excited about it, but I wouldn't put that in my top moments.
It was cool that you got picks 2 and 3 in the same draft.
Honestly, I mean...
I obviously questioned what they gave up to get him.
It's hard to be... Maybe this is... just the product of the times and fantasy football, but isn't it harder to get excited about defensive players than offensive players in general? I think you're generally more excited about offensive players.
The excitement of the Anderson pick, though, was the trade, I think. Like, that's a pretty...
Yeah.
Like, no matter how you felt about it, it was an exciting moment.
Sure.
2-0-1-0, what was more exciting, drafting Stroud or Watson?
Stroud.
Versus 12. I would go with Stroud, too.
Yeah, because I had some hot takes on Watson back in the day that I was completely wrong on. So I didn't think he was going to be any good. I thought he was going to be a bust. But, yeah. I mean, not to
never pull, wrong, well, just
but,
early.
But here's
yeah,
the thing.
Never
That's
wrong,
what I was going to say is the fact that of the two on draft day, more people, I believe, had more confidence Deshaun was going to be the guy than CJ.
Well, yeah, he was coming off the national title.
Right, he was a big name. He had done a lot of big things. They were coming off all the negativity of Brock and the big contract that he should have never gotten. And you were like, oh, my God, there's hope again. Whereas CJ was like, okay, everybody thought Bryce Young was supposed to be the best quarterback. Right. So they were like, did we get the right guy? Is he going to be okay?
People in Kansas City wanted Watson over Mahomes. They were upset that they traded up and drafted Mahomes over Watson.
Yeah.
I believe
Bill O'Brien was a big Mahomes guy.
What makes you think that?
Because I had heard stories about the fact that he was big after
watching. I had heard the same
yeah,
reports.
Yeah, after
they had
watching
Mahomes
him work out and stuff, he
board.
Was a Mahomes guy.
They missed out then.
Yeah.
No,
they did.
Would you like Mahomes and O'Brien in Houston?
Well, would they have the same result?
Would that have kept O'Brien Mahomes?
Yeah, the question is, would O'Brien have kind of kept him down? Or would he still be the same Patrick Mahomes?
There's no way he'd be the same guy.
He would have three rings.
He's much better off with Andy Reid.
Oh, yeah.
Much better off.
Yeah, obviously a much more innovative, open offense
I think even his development. I don't think he would be as good if he was groomed by Bill O'Brien than Andy Reid. He'd still be good because he's an obviously great talent, but would he be the best quarterback in the NFL? I don't know.
But wouldn't he have more weapons with the Texans when he came in?
He had DeAndre. They got rid of him pretty quick.
But would they have gotten rid of him if he had...
They got rid of him when they had a franchise quarterback.
Man,
they had a franchise quarterback and they got rid of him. I think they would have gotten rid of him.
I'd like to believe that they wouldn't.
I think that's...
But that's where Bill,
optimistic.
Bill the ruler, the dictator was probably using his own personal feelings over what might have been the best thing for a football.
Well, 100% his personal feelings made that decision.
Yeah.
I mean, the baby mama drama that he didn't like, the contract situation that he didn't like. I don't think the quarterback in the room also changes anything.
5984, signing D'Amico Ryan is going to be the biggest move in franchise history.
I think it's the franchise saver.
Hard to argue that. 713-780-ESPN. I found a new way to make mock drafts great again. All of you doubted us that we wouldn't figure out a way to make mock drafts great again. We found out a way to make mock drafts great again, and you're going to love it. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word from a good friend, Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure. If you don't know what it is, but you're going bald, you're losing your hair, you're thinning, and you're freaking out thinking there's nothing you can do about it, you're not interested in the sprays and the creams and the foams that just don't seem to be anything other than masking the problem, you need to check out the NeoGraft procedure because it's getting your own hair back. It's your own hair. Genetically, you're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, no matter how bald you go in other places. So Doc puts some of that where you need it, and you start to see the results almost immediately. In 6 to 9 months, you see the true results, and you're like, holy cow, it is stronger, longer than what I had before, and my hair looks great again, and you've got self-confidence with it too. As a listener to ESPN 97.5 and our show, you get a free consultation with Doc and his staff to find out all about the NeoGraft. It normally costs $150 for just anyone off the street. You listen to us, you go to him, you get the consultation for free. No money out of pocket, no signing on the dotted line. You ask questions, they give you answers. You see if it might be something you're interested in. Just go to 975hair.com. Sign up for an appointment. They are going to walk you through what the procedure is, how it goes, what to expect. You can ask questions, you can get answers, and you can find out if you're next in line to get this great procedure. I did it. I couldn't be happier with it. I have noticed the results. So have everybody that's been around me, and it's been amazing. You can check it out too. And again, no commitment, just you checking it out and no risk and possibly a big reward. Go to 975hair.com today.
Listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
King of Twitch says best Texans move, Kenyon Green.
Mm.
King of Trolls, what he is. Go get a job, King of Trolls. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. All of you thought that we weren't going to make mock drafts great again, and all of you were very, very sad. You were very, very upset that we were not going to be able to make mock drafts great again after Nick Caserio traded out of the first round. Don't worry, we got you. Killer Bees got you. We're going to make mock drafts great again. Now, it might not be through mock drafts. We're not going to do a bunch of randoms anymore. This might be a little bit more selective. Once, twice, three, five times a week at the most.
Three times a lady.
Three. So we're going to go with big boards instead. And we're going to look to see who would be available with the Houston Texans selecting at 42, which is their first pick. We're going to eliminate the quarterbacks. There's no point of going quarterbacks. We should probably eliminate offensive tackles, too, because we don't think the Texans would go offensive tackle.
True.
So we'll eliminate quarterbacks, we'll eliminate offensive tackles. Are we eliminating edges? I don't think we should. I still think they could draft one. Now, they signed a guy today who can play a little bit of edge, too. He can play a little bit of three-tech edge.
Tackle. I'm not sure they need any more passes.
I can't completely rule it out.
I couldn't see an edge in a second, though. I could see them drafting one later in the draft for depth.
I think they still have to be an option, though.
Yeah,
quarterback can't be, tackle can be, but I think defensive
end
can be.
Extreme slip situation, sure, yeah, but I think the odds are pretty low.
Like today's, there's not an edge option. And I think where the Texans are slotted in here, I don't think there's going to really be an edge option anyway, so it might not even be an issue. Now, quarterbacks could be in play. Like if today we're going to use Jordan Reed's big board, he works for ESPN. He's their second draft guy behind, actually probably their third draft guy. Behind the guy with the good hair, Mel Kiper, Lego Man hair. Mm-hmm. And then who's our guy that we had on that I'm a big fan of, but I'm blanking on his
name.
Matt Miller. Matt Miller's a good guy. Really good at what he does. All right, so here are our four options today. Jordan Reed is number 42 prospect on his big board is Xavier Legette, the wide receiver from South Carolina. Number 43 is Bo Nix. We're scratching him. 44, Zach Frazier, the center from West Virginia. 45 is Junior Colson, a linebacker from Michigan. And then 46 is Ricky Pearsall. I'm going to have to learn these names. A wide receiver from Florida. So you got four options. Leggett from South Carolina. Frazier from West Virginia. Junior Colson from Michigan. And Ricky Pearsall, the wide receiver from Florida. You have your option of those four. Where are you going here, Blankers?
This bothers me.
Because, bothers you?
Yes, because I said that in the second round with the 2 second round picks, if I got two of the four positions covered of safety, corner, defensive tackle.
Receiver wasn't in that?
Yeah, receiver was the fourth one. But still, I don't know if I like the selections all that much.
This is the names you're going to have to know.
I know.
Like, we're going to, this is why I want to do this, because these are the names that we're going to start hearing and probably will hear. Not these four, but these combination of names as we go through the days here, and who the Texans ultimately pick. Because it's a new cast of characters from 23 and 42.
Yeah, I think that they want speed. So I'll say of these guys to choose from, I'll take Pearsall, the wide receiver from Florida, because he seems like he's got decent size. He ran a 4.4. I'll go that route and go receiver. I'm intrigued by Colson, the linebacker from Michigan, who really was their run stopper and was a dude all over the place. But I don't know that they need linebacker as much as they need one of those other four. So I'll stick with my theory and I'll go to Pearsall.
I'm okay with any of these more. Now, I like Junior's game too. Yeah, you know how I feel about it. It's your offensive line. Now, I'd rather have a guard than a center.
Me too.
Frazier wouldn't be at the top of the list. I'm going to go with Leggett, the receiver from South Carolina. I think he's a very, very, very poor man's Deebo Samuel. He's kind of has that short, stocky build, 6'1", 220. Like his game, put up good numbers at South Carolina. Didn't watch a ton of them. Also, not that Mel Kiper is like a genius, although he was right on Will Levis, like me. We were right on Will Levis. He was the second best rookie quarterback. We were wrong on CJ Stroud. That's what we were wrong. We were wrong on Stroud, but we were right about Levis. Had a good rookie year. I saw his mock draft today, Mel Kiper. He had Leggett going late first round.
Round. Yeah,
I don't see it either.
I don't see DJ Metcalf if he was taller. He's not. So the stockiness bothers me, and I think that the Texans have said they want those quick, fast receivers.
I mean, Leggett's quick. I don't think he has a 40 time as your 40
I get
guy.
That concern, but what bothers me the most about Leggett is he's a fifth-year breakout. Like, look at his year-by-year before this last season. It was like 200 yards, 200 yards, 200 yards. Boom, it explodes.
What's wrong with that?
How do you go four seasons of producing absolutely nothing if you're this level of prospect to go in the first round?
Opportunity.
Or you could be a 24-year-old going against 19-year-olds. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just don't buy it. I don't buy late breakouts like this, so I would lean interior offensive line. I don't love that it's a center instead of an offensive guard, but I would go Zach Frazier.
There we go. We got an offensive line guy. I like it.
I just don't like the wide receivers here, and like Joel said, the linebacker from Michigan I could be talked into, but I don't see linebacker as a bigger need than
interior. And you know who slides to 48?
Who's that?
Sweat.
Oh, really?
That's where I would go.
Yeah. Some guy just tweeted me and said that Lance doesn't think that Sweat's a fit with the Texans.
Is it just because he's 365 pounds?
I think it's because he's more of a zero tech than a one tech.
Yeah, because people view him as a 3-4 defensive lineman. I guess you can make that case.
Is Lance here?
I don't know. I could walk down the hall.
I'll go during this break.
I trust Lance's opinion, and maybe this is the Longhorn fan of me, but I really want Devontae Sweat here.
I think he'd be a good fit here.
I mean, especially since you're going to be playing with an undersized defensive tackle, next to him. If you were to draft him, I think getting a big boss like that in the middle to really take up a couple gaps and stop the run would be beneficial for the way they've constructed the rest of the defensive line.
All right, who you voting? Who's your pick here? Leggett, Frazier, Colson, Pearsall. You can go to my Twitter at Jeremy Branham or at ESPN 97.5. Cast your vote. See who wins tomorrow. The early returns, they like Leggett, 60%. Next highest is Pearsall at 19%. Wet blanket John Crumpler says trading the pick if that's the board. Come on, John. Be a sport. 713-780-ESPN. Cash it or trash it with the bees. What are you cashing? What are you trashing that you want us to tear apart? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's cash 'em.
That is so good. But that's exactly right.
Or trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a killer bees.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
He's blank. I'm Branham. We are the bees on ESPN 975 and ESPN 925. This is the part of the show where we cash it or trash it. What are we cashing? What are we trashing? Blankers, why don't you lead us off?
I dedicate this one to Brian McDonald.
Oh, I'm intrigued.
Joe Mixon will rush for 1,100 yards and 7 total touchdowns for the Houston Texans.
I mean, I got to stay on brand and
trash
that. No, the touchdowns, you said 7 touchdowns? Mm-hmm. I would cash that part. Where I would disagree is the yardage total.
17 games.
17 games, but still, I don't pull up his game log now, but as inefficient of a runner as he's been, I don't see it happening. Plus, I'm going to factor in he's going to miss at least 2 because he's a running back, and most running backs miss a couple games. So.
Wants to prove his worth, new spot, wants to prove he's still got it, got the contract, better offensive line.
When the season started. I mean, I'm sure he's had motivation before. I'm going to be out on the yardage total.
Okay.
B-Mac was filibustering, and I lost track of how many yards you said.
1,100 yards and 7
total
touchdowns.
Total or rushing?
Rushing.
Yeah, I'll go under on one of the two.
One of the two?
Yeah.
More likely to go rushing?
It doesn't matter to me. I'm hedging. You said both? I'm hedging. Okay. I think he goes under on one of them.
I think he gets
trash him. So we both trashed him. My cash him or trash him has to do with college basketball conference tournaments. Did you see the kid from Florida? Broke his leg in half.
Yeah.
The bone was sticking through his skin and there was blood on the court. I think we should
like the situation from the kid from Louisville a few years ago.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Not quite as gory as that one. That one was really, really
bad.
Yeah,
that one was. Oof.
Did the bone puncture the skin on that one?
There was no blood, but the way that, I think it's, yes, it absolutely punctured the, yeah.
I couldn't remember.
It was Theismann-esque in a lot of ways, but it was more graphic. You could see the whole thing with the sock. Just crump.
I think you should either eliminate conference tournaments or eliminate back-to-backs in the tournament. Where you could, I guess, stretch it out over 7 days, and then instead of playing every single day, they have an off day in between. You get, like, North Carolina State played five games in five days. That's inhumane.
So you and I were talking.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you and I were talking about this the other day, and I'm gonna go caveat here because I don't think you should trash back-to-backs because I think the lower seeds have to get through a back-to-back early on. Like, you play a back-to-back in your first 2 rounds, then you space it out. There's no way, in my personal opinion, this is where the conversation started when I was telling Jeremy, I really felt bad that U of H had to play 4 days in a row. When you get to the 2 finalists for the conference championship on a Friday night, give them Saturday off, play Sunday around lunchtime. It still doesn't affect the bracket show. But at least gives you the chance to have the best possible game you can have with the teams rested. I hated what NC State had to go through of 5-5. I hated the Cougs didn't get a day off in between the semi and the championship game.
This isn't a U of H take, by the way.
And mine either.
And I'm happy that they played on Saturday and not Sunday because you get an extra day before the NCAA tournament. I just feel like, especially when you have the... And look, Iowa State played 3 games in 3 days. Houston played 3 and 3, not 4.
I just hate it.
I hate this in conference tournaments, period. Plus, I think that you should give the regular season champion the automatic bid into the NCAA tournament as opposed to the tournament champion. I would either get rid of the conference tournaments. They would never do that because there's too much money in play. Yep. But instead of playing all the games back to back to back, try to space it out where you're giving teams 1 day off in between games.
Then I'll cash that.
Give me a full week tournament and you have an off day between games.
Yeah, because it just, I mean, the more I looked at it, North Carolina State unbelievably won that game against Carolina playing 5-5 where they should have been gassed. And like I said, the Big 12, the best basketball conference in the nation, and you want a great game because it's your premier conference championship game. And I think both teams coming off 3-3, I just didn't like it.
Yeah, I would actually take either one of these options. To me, it almost doesn't matter what it is, so I will cash it. I would be for actually getting rid of the whole conference tournament because I get the argument, and you know what the real reason is money, but people will argue, maybe you have an injury early in the season, and this gives you a chance to actually with a full squad when you're healthy have a chance to earn the bid. But I'd rather give it to the team that earns it over the full season. So I'd absolutely get rid of it. There's no reason other than money to be playing these conference tournaments.
What you got, Brian?
All right, so I was looking at the Houston Astros futures, and obviously we've talked a lot about guys who are coming up for new contracts. Kyle Tucker, Alex Bregman. But I was looking specifically at the pitchers, and maybe this is going back to what we talked about in our second segment, the performance of Hunter Brown. But I'm high on Hunter Brown. He's looked great this spring, and I really do think when you look at his first half, second half splits last year, he just really gassed out. I think Hunter Brown is the Astros' opening day starter in 2026. Verlander's going to be gone. He's possibly on the roster next year if he hits 140 innings, but he's going to be gone. And Framber Valdez, I mean, he could return, but right now that is the year he's hitting free agency. I think Hunter Brown is your 2026 Astros opening day starter. And he'll have earned it through good play because I'm buying into what we're seeing this spring.
Quality and quantity?
Quality and quantity.
Okay. I think Christian Javier is still going to be on that team. I think Christian Javier has already proven his stuff more. I think Christian Javier, I hope, for what they're paying him, is still going to be a very good pitcher at that point in time. So I'm going to trash this and say Javier would have a good chance to be the number one.
Say that again.
Say what part again?
The
whole take?
Yeah.
I think Hunter Brown will be the Astros' opening day starter in 2026.
Okay. 2026.
Yeah, specifically because Verlander will be off the books. Gone. And Framber will have hit free agency. And so, Javier, I mean, they could resign Framber, but...
So what are your options, really? Your options would be Hunter Brown, Christian Javier, Spencer Arrighetti,
yeah,
or Luis Garcia.
Maybe a free agent that they sign between now and then.
You can't really bet on a free agent.
No, but it's a possibility.
I'll cash this. I'm going to cash this. I like Hunter Brown's stuff a lot. I think Hunter Brown's going to have a good year. And I do think he's going to be a really good starter in the bigs. I would buy Hunter Brown's stock over Christian Javier's stock.
And to Joel's point, Christian Javier is certainly proven more at this point. But in this scenario, Hunter Brown will have had two seasons to prove it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to cash this one.
We did say that you started the whole thing, and I agreed with you. His stuff is good enough to win a Cy Young sometime. But at a certain point, we got to see it.
Yeah, but this is a guy, look, we get caught
this
up
is in quality the, over quantity. Jimmy.
We get caught up in the second half for good reason. His ERA in the second half last year was 6.57, but he was a good pitcher in the first half. He was over 10K per nine. He's a former top 50 prospect. His last season in AAA, he had an ERA a full run better than the next best starting pitcher. So Hunter Brown's stock to me, I mean, obviously last second half was troublesome, but to me hasn't taken a major hit.
Cash or trash? These are from the Texters. I think the Texans traded out of the first so they can make a big deal of the uniform reveal.
I think that's BS.
Trash.
Business.
I hope that's
roster.
I assume that
I don't
was
think
trolling.
It's, I don't think it is.
Really?
I think it's a legit take.
Ugh.
I think it's a bad take.
I think we're all trashing it.
Trash.
Yep.
Yeah, the business and the operations of the roster to me aren't married together like maybe they used to be. Troy, Astros sweep the Yankees opening series, I guess.
I'll cash that.
You're pandering.
It's a four-game series, though.
You're pandering.
I'm not pandering at all.
They're going to win all four games.
Yeah.
You want to bet?
No.
That's what I thought.
No, but I hope they do. And I know the Yankees have pitching issues, and they're going to be without Garrett Cole.
Yeah, the Astros don't have any pitching issues.
And they don't
have
DJ LeMahieu.
The Astros don't have any pitching issues.
Now, they would have to win the fourth start, which will be who? Who's the Astros' fourth starter right now?
Kids run the bases that day.
Exactly. It might be one of them.
They really do. It's a promotion.
I believe you.
The base. I just pulled up their schedule. It's hard to win four games in a row in Major League Baseball.
Well, especially when you have no idea who that fourth starter is going to be. Yeah. I get it. The Yankees have their own issues, but the Astros' pitcher that day will not be of top quality.
Unfortunately, I'll be rooting for it, too, but I'm going to trash this.
Trash.
Trash this one. Corey, the Rockets will finish with a 500 or better record.
What, they're two under right now? I think they're two under.
I think that's right. Let me look it up just for confirmation's sakes. They're three under. 32-35. So they have played 67 games.
They're going to get at least 41
wins? 15 more games.
41-41?
They would have to go 9-6 down the stretch.
I'm going to trash it.
9-6, they play at Washington, home Chicago, home Jazz, home Blazers, at Thunder, at Jazz, home Mavs, at Wolves, home Warriors, home Heat, at Mavs, home Magic, at Utah, at Portland, at LA. That's a sucky end of the season.
There's a lot of good teams on the road. I'm trashing it.
That feels like a 500 stretch.
9-6. Where are your wins? I think they can win tonight at Washington. Can they beat Chicago at home?
Maybe. No. Yeah.
I'll say yes.
Well no, Zach Levine.
They just beat Cleveland at home.
Utah at home?
Possible.
2.5. Portland at home?
Yes.
3.5. At OKC?
No.
No. At Utah?
No.
No.
Tough place to play.
Home for Dallas?
No.
I'll give that a yes.
With Luka and Kyrie?
Yeah, one of them's going to be hurt.
No, they're not.
It could be. At Minnesota?
No.
Okay, three. Let's keep it at 3.5. At Golden State?
No.
Or home for Golden State, my bad.
No.
I say yes on that one.
No.
We'll go half of it. 4. Home for Miami?
No.
I say yes. 5. At Dallas?
No.
No. Home for Orlando?
No.
I say yes. 5.5. At Utah?
No.
No. At Portland?
Yes.
Yes. 6.5. And then at LA Clippers?
No.
Okay, so we have 6.5.
So, yeah.
They need 9? No.
Even if you round up to 7.
Even if we round to 7. Yeah. They're not finishing 500.
I don't think they're getting there.
Yeah, they're not getting to 500.
I think they could get to 40. I think that's more possible. I don't know.
They're going to have to beat some good teams to do it.
They would. They would have to pull an upset.
Which, that'd be kind of fun to chase. Like, that's why I've changed my tone on that a little bit.
They pulled off some upsets recently. Obviously, winning at the Suns. They beat the Cavaliers a couple nights ago at home. It's not like they're not beating good teams right now.
Let's cash or trash Aggie Mats.
Oh,
BMAC is the most talkative producer the station has had. I can't think of anyone who added more to a show willingly. Good content mostly, too, except for the horn love. From Aggie Matt.
Yeah, that's
cash
fair.
It or trash it, Brian.
You know what? I'm going to pull a Jeremy. I hate compliments, so I'll trash
it. You
can't
trash the take, though. You might hate compliments, but you can agree or disagree.
I'm also
that's
lying.
Two separate conversations.
I'm also lying like you are when you say you hate compliments. I love compliments.
Yeah, it's good content. I'll cash it.
I don't know that Jeremy's lying.
About what?
You've been pretty honest about whenever I've complimented
you. No, compliments do make me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like compliments.
Except for when you read them on air.
No, that's just for the show. That's for the sake of comedy. That's like for the sake of entertainment.
I will vouch for that.
I'm not a big compliment guy. Like, I'm really, cool, thank you. Like, hey, you know, whatever. Cool. Like, thank you so much. Yeah, I'm not a big compliment guy. Cash or trash, Blankers?
What?
What Aggie Matt just said. BMAC is the most talkative producer the station has had. I can't think of anyone who added more to a show willingly. Good content, mostly, too, except for the horn love. Aggie Matt.
Are you really going to bury me here?
No.
You really gonna bury me?
No, I mean, he's loyal enough that he's still with us, so I'll vouch for that.
Yeah, we went through producers
there
quickly.
You go.
We run through producers.
I'll go ahead. I'll make sure who said is a little easier on Friday since you both answered.
Hey, verify. We pushed. You threw the 6-1 in willingly, and I took it.
I didn't say I didn't push. I said it as an asterisk next.
No,
to it.
No, because it was his idea, not mine. I wasn't begging for it.
That doesn't make it
true.
Not asterisk.
That is true.
Somebody said yesterday that we couldn't name 50 chips better than anything that that Sun Chips do.
Mm-hmm.
Brian told me he likes Sun Chips. I have 50 chips that are
better.
Can
I just tell you that as part of this process today, I went into our pantry and had a couple of the harvest cheddars.
Yeah, harvest
they're
cheddar.
Very good.
No, you
I
can't
love Sun
that.
Chips. They're good.
I have 50 chips that are better. You might think they're
wow.
good. I have 50 chips that are better.
I'm astounded you took the time to go through 50 chips. 50? To find.
I mean, what'd you expect me to do on the drive home? No, we're going to have a top 10.
Okay.
But I have 50 chips that are better than Sun Chips.
Okay.
All right. Do it when we come back. 713-780-ESPN if you want to throw out your favorite chips. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys. We know the tournament's coming up. There's no better place to get with to put some money down on all these different games. You know you're going to be peeping and watching Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, maybe even the play-in games Wednesday. You got to get to mybookie.ag. It's a one-stop shop for all your sports betting and casino needs, complete with a real-life Vegas experience right from the comfort of your phone and your own home. Take your viewing experience to the next level. Your viewing experience, people. Real-time live betting that lets you stream and bet the games right from the mybookie.ag website. Sign up now. Take advantage of a generous welcome bonus on your first deposit, all the way up to $1,000. You put in $200, suddenly there's $300 in your account instantly using the promo code BET975. That's right. It's our code that you use to benefit at mybookie.ag. Always use the code BET975. And the fun doesn't stop there. You have live dealers standing by with casino games, and you can get up-to-the-minute odds, props, and this week's expert predictions to help you decide on who to put your money on as part of going to the site and checking it all out on your computer. And the fun doesn't stop there. Everything is a part of being taken care of as a customer to MyBookie.ag. They've been in business for over a decade. They're not going anywhere. Your money's going to be safe and secure. They're going to take care of you in a variety of ways. If you get a friend to sign up, you can get an extra bonus for that as well, too. The best part of MyBookie, you can bet on anything, anytime, anywhere from the only place I tell you to do it. It's always MyBookie.ag and use our promo code BET975.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We have a mean text. Should I say it now or should I save it for Friday?
Double up if you'd like.
Let's do that. Brian, absolutely an upgrade over Joe George. Took me about one show to determine that.
Oof. I mean, I'll take the compliment, but I love Joe. Joe's great.
Aren't you going to
Yeah, you are this weekend.
You're Joe, LaBerge. Sean, and myself are all going out to LaBerge, and we're doing the bullpen from 12 to 3 Saturday at their sportsbook.
Do you, are you going to gamble a little bit?
I haven't decided. I look, as you know, because you've played with me, I love to play poker, but I haven't decided if I'm going to stay out and play poker afterwards.
Brian's a fish. 713-780-ESPN. So I have 50 chips that are better. We're going to get to our top 10 in a second. But somebody yesterday, I don't know how we got on this conversation. I don't remember. Brian was asking me that earlier. I was like,
yeah,
I asked him
because I had no idea. It seemed fairly random.
So I was driving home yesterday and I came home. I came up with 50 chips that are better than Sun Chips. I was doing a text to whatever, a voice to Excel spreadsheet. Lay's has 6 chips that are better. Original brand, barbecue, sour cream cheddar, salt and vinegar, cheddar jalapeno. Ruffles original, sour cream barbecue, Doritos nacho cheese, spicy nacho cheese, cool ranch barbecue, salsa verde, taco flavor too. Munchos, better
love
than
them.
Sun Chips.
Underrated. Chip.
They're my top 10.
Yes.
A little spoiler.
Mine too.
Funyuns, better. Zaps, hotter and hot jalapeno, voodoo heat, spicy Cajun craw taters, Cajun dill gator taters, barbecue salt and vinegar, original. Miss Vicky's, sea salt, jalapeno. Dirty chips, cracked peppers, sea salt, salt and vinegar, jalapeno heat, mesquite barbecue, sour cream and onion. Kettle brand, backyard barbecue, sea salt, crinkle cut, jalapeno, I don't know how to say this one. Pepperoncini are fantastic.
Pepperoncini.
It's spelled a little different. It's pepperoncini. Oh, okay. It's pepperoncini. Mm-hmm. Those are underrated good. They don't make my top 10, but underrated good.
I take those out of my salad at Olive Garden.
Oh, yeah. They're delicious. I love those things. Salt and fresh ground pepper. Cheetos, crunchy puffs, jalapeno cheddar, flaming hot. Simple cheddar. Simple Cheetos white cheddar. Simple Cheetos. tongue twister. Simple Cheetos white cheddar puffs.
You even throw
Pringles.
Let me finish.
Pringles. Only those two. I don't like baked chips. Only those two.
All right.
They're Cheetos and they're puffy. Pringles original sour cream and onion, cheddar cheese, pizza, chili cheese Fritos. That's 50. And I didn't even get to the HEB flavors, the Bucky's flavors, the Hers flavors, and the Cape Cod flavors. There's probably 75 chips that are better than Sun Chips.
Brian, your rebuttal?
75!
I love how fired up you got about it. I like Sun Chips. I wouldn't put it in my top 10, and I haven't gone through the effort of ranking 50 chips.
You should. You really should before you start throwing around your light or Sun Chips.
I'm a little out of breath. I will safely drive on the way home and make my list. You did voice the text. So I'm glad you didn't type it in. No, I like Sun Chips. I'm not claiming they're the best chips ever made. I don't think they would be in my top 10, but if someone offers me a bag
much
of Sun
different.
Chips, or,
much different. Like, or I, if, I'll if eat my wife, Sun Chips.
If my wife brings them home, I'm not gonna be a problem. Look, have a problem with that.
I'm on the bus after a lot of games where they hand us, you know, little sandwich bags, and I've had all sorts of chips. Sun Chips are in those bags a lot. Am I gonna eat the Sun Chips? Yeah. Of course I'm going to eat the Sun Chips.
I would actually go a step
but
further.
But there's 50 that are better. At least 75 that are better.
I bought them on purpose. I guess that's...
I've never done that.
Okay.
See, and I never will do that.
That might be
my house, my kids make sure that...
A little different when you're buying stuff for the kids and for you. I will never buy Sun Chips for myself.
Like if I'm making like a hamburger or hot dogs and I don't really feel like putting effort into the sides, you know, I'll go buy a bag of chips and Sun Chips are in there maybe...
That's
in
a crime.
In the rotation.
You should be thrown into jail for that. That's a terrible take. Like, there's so many good chips out there. You're getting Sun Chips to be a little cookout in the backyard?
Am
I only buying one? No, I'm buying 50.
No, that's not what I said. Like, if I'm only buying for me and, like, my wife and my kid, then yes. But if I'm buying for a whole, you know, family barbecue, no one won't buy Sun Chips because I'm not going to force my taste upon other people. But, I would buy it for me.
If I'm buying, I'm buying the ones that I like.
You only buy one type of chip?
No, I'll buy 50. There's plenty of options. I'll buy 50 before I get to the Sun Chips. If I'm in an HEB, I'm going to buy 75 before I get to the
I would buy the HEB brand most of the time.
HEB brand's not bad. Yeah, they're actually underrated.
That's probably
a lot of different products that they put out.
Their chips are actually pretty good.
Yeah, HEB's got some good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They're smaller, though. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Like, the chips are smaller, but they're more flavorful.
That's not even just an HEB problem. There's a lot of, like, Snickers have gotten smaller. There's a lot of products that are getting smaller to save money while still charging.
You know what? I bought Girl Scout cookies the other day at Kroger's. They got rid of an entire column of cookies.
Yeah.
It's like four columns now instead of five.
Yep. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, what a screw job.
Exactly.
What was it when the nation was in uproar because of the chip sizes when they reduced the size of the bag, but they kept the same price?
Yeah, that's what is happening. There's a term for it. I can't remember what it is. It's something.
Production reduction?
No, it sounds something like inflation, but the opposite. I can't remember what the term they give for
produce
it.
Produce deflation?
Maybe. I don't know. But like candy bars, bags of chips, a lot of places are decreasing the size of it slightly, but still charging the same.
Yeah, I couldn't. I was like, where is the other column?
Did you go back and ask for a refund?
No, I'm not going to do that to the Girl Scouts. All right, what's your top 10 chip flavors, Blinkers?
Okay, so you already know my number one, but we'll save it.
Yeah, say it to Brian because he doesn't know.
Yeah, I don't have my
top 10. Oh, that's right. He doesn't know. Okay. Underrated, you may have tried it, but I doubt it. But in the Midwest.
Are you going number one?
You want me to start at one?
Oh, I don't care how you do it.
Underrated Charles Chips.
That's your number 10.
Charles Chips is my. It's a Midwest chip. Comes in a big metal tin. They're really tasty, and they have
They're putting chips in metal tins.
Yeah,
that's intriguing.
Yeah, and they're really fresh, which is key. Huh. Okay, and then my original top 10 were the Crunchy Cheetos, Munchos.
You're going backwards. 10
yeah,
to 9.
Yep. Crunchy Cheetos, Munchos, Ruffles, Taco Doritos. Lay's sour cream and onion, Lay's barbecue, regular Cheetos, nacho cheese Doritos, Cool Ranch Doritos, and the number one Ruffles baked sour cream and cheddar. Which
that is my number one. Well, not baked. Not baked. But, okay. The
Ruffles. I love the baked, and I could eat the whole bag.
I like your list. I would change the order, and some of them didn't make my top 10, but I don't have any problems with your top 10 other than number one. A baked chip, number one, is criminal. Now, it's almost as bad as liking Sun Chips.
If he had the regular Ruffles sour cream and cheddar.
That's in my top 10.
I told you it's
that's
my number
in my top
one.
10.
It's great.
My top 10 reverse order. Number 10, Bucky's Jalapeno Cheese Puffs.
Pretty good.
Fantastic.
Pretty good.
Number 9, Kettle Brand Crinkle Cut Salt and Pepper. Simple, efficient, delicious. Number 8, Munchos. Munchos, don't screw it up. Get out of the way. Deliver a good product, and I'll eat it. That's what Munchos does. Number 7, Funyuns. Like me some Funyuns.
I was with you until you said Funyuns.
Give me some Funyuns. Like give me some Funyuns. Number 6, Miss Vicky's Jalapeno Chips. Fantastic.
That's a good theme here. A lot of spicy.
There is some spicy. Yeah, I wouldn't say spicy. But a little bit of pica.
Compared to the other chips.
Number 5, Lay's Sour Cream and Onion. The original. Those are good. Number 4, Cheeto Cheddar Jalapenos. Those are the fantastic. They're the regular crunchy kind. Number 3, Ruffles Cheddar and Sour Cream. Those are really, really good. Number 2, Doritos Salsa Verde. Oh, man. So I have a bag in my pantry right now. So delicious. And number 1, top 10 chip flavors, Zapp's Hotter and Hot Jalapeno.
See, I'm not a jalapeno.
There's a lot of jalapeno so chips good. On your list.
Only 4.
Basically half.
Yeah, and I'm not a jalapeno guy, so that...
I like jalapeno. I don't really like it. Maybe this is a weird line to draw, but I love jalapeno. I love spicy food, but I don't tend to go to that for my chips.
See, I think Cool Ranch just is awesome.
Cool Ranch would be in my top 10.
That's a great one. And then the underrated one that we said was one that we think that they more treat like the McRib now. It's not findable all over, but the taco flavored Doritos
I've
are fantastic.
Never had
that was
one.
On my honorable
I've never
mention.
Had that
so
one.
Good.
Honorable mention,
so
I had Doritos taco.
That's a seasonal thing. They only come out with it.
I don't know. Used to be you could get them right next to the nacho cheese.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I think they phased them out for a while. People wanted them back, but if you can find them, they're good.
I think they were like in retirement and now they're back.
Yeah, I'll look for that next time I'm in the grocery store. I've never had those.
That was on my honorable mention. Spicy nacho Doritos on my honorable mention, and then Cajun craw taters from Zapp's.
The pizza chips.
Also on my honorable mention.
Are on my honorable mention as well.
From
the Pringles pizza
Pringles
chips
pizza's
are good.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't love Pringles.
I don't.
But Pringles pizza's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right. So that's our top 10. Whose top 10 is better? Brian, whose top 10 is better? Let me remind you that Blankers has a baked chip as his number one.
Yeah, see, that's it was an easy Joel, but then he threw a baked chip for his number one.
The number one.
So if you like the extra grease, you can go with it. I prefer the taste.
I feel like
the
I'm trying to change your list.
I feel like I almost have to disqualify you.
Just like you are filibustering.
You know what? I'll still go with Joel because I think Jeremy went 2-1 no with half his top 10 being jalapeno.
Yeah,
flavored.
You got the jalapenos already all over the place. You don't like them on your chip.
Half his list is the same flavor.
How do you know that you work with a bunch of gringos without saying you work with a bunch of gringos?
That was just straight.
713-780-ESPN. Who's got a better top 10? Stop the fear mongering. The Astros rotation is going to be just fine. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.